From NPR, it's Latino USA.
This is my baby sister, Sophia. My mom says Sophia is her little princess. I like to make her laugh.
Baby Sophia was born with a deadly disease, leukemia. Another baby might have gotten a bone marrow transplant. But here's the untold story. Latinos don't donate enough to bone marrow banks.
The main misconception about the bone marrow donation out there is, first of all, many people think the bone marrow is the spinal cord, especially in the Hispanic community, because the name of spinal cord and bone marrow are very similar in Spanish.
We launch our special series about health and the Latino community. We start off by investigating the medical crisis. What happens when Latinos don't donate to bone marrow banks? I'm Maria Hinojosa, and that's coming up on Latino USA. But first, this news. U.S. media powerhouses like NBC, Disney, and Fox have their sights set on capturing Latino audiences. And whether it's in English or in Spanish, the Latino market has these industry giants fighting for a share of the pie. Arlene Davila is a professor of anthropology, social and cultural analysis at New York University. She's also the author of Latinos, Inc., The Marketing and Making of a People. Arlene joins us to talk about the competition for the Latino market and how it could affect the Latino community and very specifically the Latino media market, Arlene, which is your focus in your academic work. So you've been studying this for well over a decade. Now, once again, 2012, you start hearing these buzzwords about capturing Latino markets. And I know that you always come back and say, there's been these booms before. What makes this one different?
Well, as you said, there's a history of this. And what's fascinating to me is sort of to see the incredible growth in the market at the same time that we have this rising anti-Latino immigrant discourse and incredible legislation at the national level. So to me, it's fascinating to see this kind of disjuncture where in the media market, you have more and more players wanting to get inside the market and have a piece of it, right? New initiatives like, you know, Mundo Fox. At the same time that we have this growing anti-Latino climate. So I was very curious to sort of explore that.
So your book, Latinos, Inc., that really looked a real academic study about the marketing to Latinos, released in 2001. It's going to be re-released now, 10 years, almost 11 years later. So what has changed in how U.S. media companies think about who Latinos are and how to secure that loyalty? Because I think also that's one thing that people don't realize, this whole brand loyalty that Latinos carry.
Yeah, you know, the market, the media market has become more sophisticated, as you mentioned, because there's so many more media choices. Back then, it was Univision and Telemundo. And right now, you have so many more options. At the same time, the dominant formula that to address Hispanic and Latino marketers, you need to advertise in Spanish language hasn't really changed. You know, it's extremely contradictory and has had very ill effects for Latino producers and productions and creators. So that 10 years later, despite all the growth in media, the formula remains almost untouched.
So one thing that has changed, though, is how Latinos identify in terms of racial categories. More of them are identifying as Afro-Latinos or indigenous. So how has that changed in terms of, has that been picked up in terms of marketing?
Yeah, that too was fascinating. What I saw was interesting was a kind of association between language and race, whereby you would have cable bilingual stations like MTV, right? You would have more Afro-Latinos, right, in that universe. So that the few Afro-Latino representations are more likely to be concentrated in bilingual language cable, as if to say that, you know, yes, Afro-Latinos are bilingual Latinos, but there's no Black or Indo-Latinos, you know, in our Spanish language universe.
Is there something that is happening in terms of the Latino reality, that basically what it is the fact that these young Latinos are really my kids, both of them, right? They're completely Latino and they're completely 100% Americans
or New Yorkers.
But, you
know, that has remained the issue for so long. And I think it's important to realize that the gaps are not only in so-called Hispanic language media, but look at the general market media. I mean, we were talking about earlier, right, how general market media, I mean, Latinos are now... There's a report that I read that was very troubling that basically argued that Latinos hold the same number of jobs in the general market media, right, and actors as producers in the 1960s that they do today than they did in the 1960s, except that the population has almost tripled since.
So let's just be clear about that, Arlene. What you're saying is that statistically, by the numbers, the number of Latinos working in all forms of media, including news media, Hollywood, all forms of media.
Absolutely.
The numbers have stayed the same?
That's what this report shows, because according to the Free Press, minorities own less than 1%, right, of all the media stations at all levels. So you may have more stations, right, so-called representing Latinos, but in terms of ownership, you have less Latinos and minorities owning, producing, basically involved in the highly profitable production process that Latino media is, ultimately.
Thanks for bringing us up to date. Appreciate that. Thanks for speaking with us, Arlene.
Thank you.
Arlene Davila is a professor of anthropology, social and cultural analysis based at New York University. For news updates throughout the week, visit us at latinousa.org or follow us on Twitter. We are LatinoUSA, all one word, and we're back in 30 segundos. Stay with us. It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Most illnesses we have no control over. But when it comes to blood-related diseases, including leukemia, a bone marrow transplant can oftentimes be the cure. But because bone marrow tissue types are inherited, a person is much more likely to find a match from within their own ethnicity. But here's the untold story. When it comes to finding bone marrow matches for deadly diseases, Latinos are lagging behind. On this special edition of Latino USA, we embark on a year-long series examining health issues facing Latinos. And as our documentary reveals, when it comes to life-saving bone marrow transplants, Latinos and other people of color have a much lower chance of finding a match. There may be something, though, that we and you can do to change that. Our documentary was produced by Habiba Noshin and Lisa Desai.
My name is Denise Lopez, and this is my daughter, Sophia Lopez. Sophia is 17 months. She's been through a rough 1 year of life.
We first met Sophia and Denise a few months ago at a New York hospital on the Upper East Side. This place has been a second home to baby Sophia. Shortly after her birth, she was diagnosed with a rare blood disease. On this day, it's the third time Sophia has been poked, and she's tired and crying in pain. The nurses are trying to take her blood, but it hasn't been easy. Sophia's skin is bruised from so many needles, and her IV won't stay in. As the nurse unsuccessfully attempts to insert the needle yet again, this time blood gushes out of baby Sophia and spills onto the floor. The nurses decide to call it a day and send Sophia home.
So I know it's so hard to get an IV or blood from her. I don't really want to torture her. Aww, poor Sophia.
Hi, Mama.
Now, usually when you have a chubby baby, they'll just look like round and chubby. Sophia looks like a sumo baby to the extreme. Her cheeks are so round and swollen that they're almost hanging over her neck. She has a very large belly, and she's puffy all around. So puffy that even her eyes are closed as a result of the puffiness. So while at first it looks cute, you can then say, wait a second, there's something there.
Hi.
So tell me about when Sophia was first born. Did you think I have another perfect baby?
Yeah, definitely I did, because, pregnancy was normal. Even when Sophia was born, my newborn screening was normal. So I never thought at any point that, my daughter was sick.
When did you first start to see that baby Sophia was having some problems?
Sophia was having high fevers.
How old was she?
She was only 10 weeks. I told my husband, I don't know what's going on, but she's too little to be having high temperatures of 104, so I'm going to rush her into the hospital.
Denise remembers she spent that night in the hospital with her baby as the doctors ran test after test trying to figure out what was wrong. That's when she was given the worst news a new parent could get. Her child was diagnosed with a deadly blood disease. Without the right treatment, her days were numbered.
At that point, I remember they knew that she did need to start chemo immediately. They don't know how she'll react with the chemo or if the chemo would just make her even worse. So just hearing all of this and seeing this little baby that's tiny as can be and is only 8 pounds, I felt like I was just in a twilight zone because my little girl was sick.
Can you tell me a little bit what's going on for you right now, how you're feeling right now, this moment?
It's still emotional for me because no parent, you know, would ever think of their child being and going through so much. If I can take away everything that my daughter goes through, you know, she's so little, so she can't tell me what she's going through. But as you can see, she's still happy.
After months of treatment, Sophia's mother was told that the only way to save her daughter was to find a bone marrow donor who had similar tissue types as Sophia. Using the donor's healthy cells, doctors could replace baby Sophia's unhealthy cells and give her a new chance in life. But there was a catch. Because Sophia is of Ecuadorian and Puerto Rican descent, a donor for her would most likely be found within her own ethnic community. And that posed another problem, because there aren't enough Latinos who are registered in the National Bone Marrow Registry as donors.
My name is Aram da Silva. I'm the president of the Icla da Silva Foundation. The Icla da Silva Foundation is the largest recruitment center for the National Marrow Registry.
In Long Island City in Queens, da Silva sits in his office at a nonprofit that recruits bone marrow donors, particularly from the Latino community. On the wall are awards recognizing the organization's work and pictures of Latinos and African Americans, some of whom have died while waiting for a match. One of those pictures is of Iram's own sister, Icla.
This is one of the pictures that my sister liked the most. Well, she's wearing a shirt that is like the United States colors and flags. My sister had leukemia, so we lost her because she could not find a donor.
Da Silva moved to the United States with his family from Brazil to find treatment for his sister, who, like baby Sophia, also needed a bone marrow transplant. His sister's death, Da Silva says, energized him to do outreach in the Latino community.
My dream was always to go to medical school and become a doctor. But after I finished college, you know, I saw that there were many great doctors out there. But what we really need is more donors in the registry, because I thought by me getting more involved with the foundation, we could definitely make a difference and bring more donors to the registry and help save those patients' lives.
So that's what Da Silva does now. His organization holds drives to help spread the word and get more patients to sign up. But he admits that task hasn't been so easy.
Well, it is more difficult to find a match for someone who's Latino compared to someone who's Caucasian.
That's because only 10% of the total number of potential donors in the National Bone Marrow Registry are Latinos, way below the national average for the group, which currently stands at over 16% of the population. Da Silva says there are reasons why Latinos in the U.S. are lagging behind.
The main misconception about the bone marrow donation out there is, first of all, many people think the bone marrow is the spinal cord, especially in the Hispanic community, because the name of spinal cord and bone marrow are very similar in Spanish, so they get very confused.
He says some assume they're being asked to donate their spinal cord. And the other reason?
The misconception also is in terms of pain. The way the bone marrow transplant works is nowadays is much simple. 80% of the time, a donor receives a medication for 5 days. On the fifth day, the donor goes to a hospital or a blood bank. They donate blood from one arm. It goes through a machine, and the machine separates only the bone marrow cells, and the rest of the cells comes back on the other arm. And it's a procedure that is very safe, and it takes about 4 to 6 hours to donate, but the person will be sitting there in the chair and just donating and watching TV.
But then we learned selling that pitch to the Latino community can be a real challenge. Across town in Brooklyn, there's a Black History event honoring community leaders. About 100 people, including many African Americans and Latinos, fill the auditorium. This makes it the perfect place to recruit bone marrow donors from communities of color.
I'm a recruiter for the Isla da Silva Foundation. Today we just want people to know about leukemia, spread the word, and if they would like to sign up as a bone marrow donor, they can do it today.
Outside the auditorium sits Jenny Coste Ulanga, who works with Da Silva. We went out with her one day as she tried to recruit bone marrow donors. On the table of her makeshift recruiting booth sits a pile of application forms. Once applicants fill out the form and are deemed healthy, they can take a cheek swab on the spot and register. It's a very simple process. Take a few large Q-tips, gently rub them inside your cheek, seal them in their original packaging, and send them off. But it's been 2 hours since Coste Ulanga has set up her booth, and this drive, like so many others within the Latino community, hasn't exactly been a hit.
People are scared about what is bone marrow. Most of the people think that bone marrow is the body organ, which is not.
Eventually, one African-American woman reluctantly approaches Coste Ulanga.
You would like to sign up or you want information about bone marrow?
How long does it take?
What happened?
How long does it take?
As soon as you finish the form, if you are between 18 and 60 and you don't have any asthma, diabetes, you can sign up.
Not tonight.
Not tonight. A line that this organization has heard way too many times.
This is my baby sister, Sophia. My mom says Sophia is her little princess.
Meanwhile, back in the Bronx, baby Sophia's family is running out of time. After months of searching, they're unable to find a donor for Sophia in the National Bone Marrow Registry. In a desperate plea, the family makes a YouTube video to ask for help.
Being a big brother is a big responsibility. I want to protect my baby sister and keep her safe.
The video shows Sophia's 12-year-old brother, Brandon, as he cuddles his sister and asks for help.
But I can't do this by myself because Sophia is really sick and needs a bone marrow transplant. We need to find Sophia a donor, but that's not easy.
Please help me help my baby sister, Sophia.
But the family quickly learned that saving baby Sophia's life would be a long, uphill battle. Denise sits on her sofa in her one-bedroom apartment in the Bronx, going through piles of 8x10 photos of Sophia that chronicle her short life. Then she looks at one picture and pauses.
It's tough looking at this picture. She was in so much pain. It was terrible to watch her cry with the pain that she was in. It was very hard to know that my daughter was sick and there was nothing I can do about it.
We'll be back with our story about baby Sophia and other Latinos waiting for bone marrow donations after a short break. But in the meantime, you can find out more about becoming a donor at www.bethematch.org. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Sadly, the story that we've been listening to about baby Sofia's long search for a bone marrow donor isn't unique. Just a two-minute drive away from her home in the Bronx, Mexican-American Lindsay Guzman has a similar story, but she's an adult. On this day, she sits on her plastic-covered beige sofa with her laptop open.
Part one, my story, Friday, May 29, 2009. As I begin the blog here on Facebook, last year in October 2008, I was diagnosed with leukemia, yes, cancer. What I'm about to write is to express, share, and explain how everything started.
Lindsay's chemo has taken its toll. She's lost weight and her hair has all fallen out. There's a big indentation in her bald head, the marking of the several machines she's been hooked up to so many times.
Why don't you tell me how you're doing today? How are you feeling today?
Laying down, I started coughing like it was a cough that wouldn't stop. And then when I wanted to spit, I spit something and then I vomited. So that got me tired and I just like slept.
Before she got sick, Lindsay worked in the fashion industry. She was a devout Catholic and generally lived a pretty routine life.
So you had a good life, you had a job, you had graduated college, things were good. And then what happened?
I had like a fever. I started bleeding from my nose. And then I threw up. But then when I threw up, it was a combination of vomiting with blood already. And we went to the emergency room. Doctor was like trying to figure out what's going on. I remember them taking out like blood, injecting me with like needles. And I remember going into ICU. And then when I woke up, one of the doctors, and I remember her walking in. She goes, well, you know already you have leukemia, right?
What went on for you when you hear this doctor saying, well, look, you already know you have leukemia?
But I didn't grasp, like, with leukemia, with cancer. Like, I didn't put them together until later on.
Every year, more than 10,000 Americans are diagnosed with a blood disorder, like leukemia. And a bone marrow transplant is often their best or only hope for a cure. But for patients of color, the search for a match can be exhausting and close to impossible. A brother or a sister has a 25% chance of being a match. But if a sibling or family member is not a fit, then most patients have to look to the next best thing, a donor from the same ethnicity in the National Bone Marrow Registry. And that's where most Latinos run into trouble. But Dr. James Young from the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York says there are solutions.
Solutions are to keep this topic out there in front of people, that they know that it's very easy to register as a donor. This is the one quote-unquote organ that you can donate that renews itself. It's not like giving a kidney where you have two, you give one away, you've only got one left.
So say hi. Say hi.
Oh, whoa. Oh, so she can't sit up.
Doesn't sit herself up. I have to sit her up, poor thing.
Meanwhile, with no match in the registry, baby Sofia was running out of time.
Like, I would ask the doctor every week, search again, maybe something else happened, search again. Because I had, through Facebook, people registering from Honduras, Mexico, different places. And I kept keeping my hopes up. But yes, it was disappointment.
In desperation, doctors turned to another option, something known as a cord blood transplant. Cord blood is donated from the umbilical cord of a newborn baby. A few months ago, doctors found a cord that matched baby Sofia's genes. She received a transplant and is now in recovery. But she still isn't over the hurdle.
8 months after the cord blood transplant, Sofia is out of the woods, or is there still, could something still happen?
She's still in high risk because she's on a lot of medications. So until basically Sofia is 2 years post-transplant, it's just a waiting process. You know, we just have to write it out day by day.
Cord blood transplants are an option, with longer recovery times and a higher potential for relapse. And what many people don't know is that those cords, if donated to public banks, can potentially save lives of patients like baby Sophia.
Cord blood is typically thrown in the garbage. So if it's properly collected and properly stored, it also is a very excellent source of stem cells for bone marrow and stem cell transplants.
But even when it comes to cord blood, white Americans of European descent have a much higher chance of finding a match than Latinos, because not many Latinos know how valuable such a donation can be. As for Lindsay Guzman, after a long journey, there is finally hope for some good news. Doctors have found cord blood that's a match for her.
How are you feeling now, knowing that there's potential for a donor?
I feel happy. I feel happy because there's a match, but I'm scared. And, through the last two chemos that I had, it really, wore me down. I want this to be over already. And, I want to live. As a young person, I want to go, through stages of life.
And when you say you want to live, what do you want to live for now?
Keep working, doing what I love. Go shopping, go to movies, travel. And, I'm still young and, find our other half and have a family.
Lindsay Guzman received her transplant in July, but her journey is far from over. Doctors say that Lindsay cannot return to work for at least a year. Over the last few months, Lindsay has been in and out of the hospital fighting fevers and infections as her body continues to adjust to her new bone marrow. She's been told she has to stay away from crowded public places to avoid germs while she recovers. This next year will be crucial as her family continues to hope and pray.
It's okay, it's okay.
Meanwhile, baby Sophia is still on medication and on steroids as she continues to recover from her transplant. If you want to learn more about how to be a donor, you can visit the National Bone Marrow Donor Program called Be the Match Registry. It's at www.bethematch.org. And for this week, that's Latino USA. Our documentary was produced by Habiba Noshin and Lisa Desai and edited by Maria Emilia Martin. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join me again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Our year-long look at Latinos in health is made possible by funding from Pfizer. With Pfizer Helpful Answers, a family of patient assistance programs for patients in need, at PfizerHelpfulAnswers.com. Additional support for Latino USA is provided in part by the Marguerite Casey Foundation, supporting families, leading change.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Civic Ventures, awarding the Purpose Prize to five people who solve major social problems in their Encore careers. Nominations at purposeprize.org. And Lumber Liquidators, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at lumberliquidators.com. And the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, for 40 years working to improve health and health care. On the web at rwjf.org. This is NPR.